that have not joined us before, I'd like to remind you that this meeting is being recorded, and that your comments are very valuable to us and will be held for posterity. First order of business is, we need a roll call. Okay, sounds like everybody's saying, yeah, it's kind of a low energy. That's all right. Community input's always our first item to start talking about. Does anybody in the audience have anything they'd like to share with the advisory board or share with one another? Oh, it's going to be one of those.
I've got something from Mona.
Yeah.
So Mona's not here, so she asked me to ask you to save the date. Sunday, March 22nd, St. Andrew Lutheran Church, 1:30 to 4 p.m. You can ask about more, but it's Dr. Eric Carter of Vanderbilt University is going to facilitate a community conversation based on his research at the Kennedy Center, UCEDD, about the dimensions of belonging. This focuses on breaking down barriers for people marginalized by difference, especially those with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and creating space for belonging in their communities. While he has a particular interest in faith communities and faith-based organizations, he has found his desire for belonging is present throughout communities, especially with the current state of loneliness in our country. Along with his engaging presentation, that will be facilitated small group discussion, help brainstorming starting points and next steps and resources. Doesn't say anything about cookies.
We're actually hoping to provide dinner, but we're still working on that.
Okay. And all are welcome, but I guess besides Mona, we could ask you as well, but if anyone has any questions, we can answer. Thank you.
Can you repeat the date one more time?
Sunday, March 22nd, St. Andrews, 1:30 to 4 p.m.
Thank you.
And we will be getting a flyer out to you shortly.
Any other announcements, anything that people would like to share? Okay.
I'll just add that we have an open recruitment for advisor board members. And the date for submission of your letter of interest and resume is January 27th. So, if you know anybody that would be interested, just let us know.
What are the three categories that you're looking for?
Well, we said education, families, and birth to three. And I would emphasize birth to three and families. We do have a number of educators or retired educators on the board, so that would be probably a lower priority than the other two categories. So we would certainly accept more educators.
Any questions that folks ask, please?
Oh. No questions, but I did have something to share. Just our advocacy days that we partner with. So every Wednesday, I will be taking a group of families and individuals and stakeholders up to Olympia to talk with our legislators and get all the information that they need to hear about our daughters and our loved ones. And we start January 29th, and we go every Wednesday through March 4th. We meet at the Innovative Services Northwest Building parking lot at 8 a.m., and we are usually back between 4 and 5. Fun-filled day. We can carpool. We have spots in the minivan, or sometimes people feel more comfortable driving on their own, and they just kind of carpool with it.
Yeah. And reception.
Oh, yes. And the legislative reception is the week before January 22nd. And
we will carpool up with you if you need a ride. And Patty has brought lovely flyers for you guys that I will give you the pass out.
Is that a Wednesday again?
It is the Wednesday. And I do have a sign-up sheet if it's easier. You just want to put your name. And then I can send you information about our advocacy days as well as... we do rapid response list if you're unable to come up to Olympia, but you'd still like to get in contact with legislators. I can send out that information as well.
Could you give us an idea of what the expectations would be for volunteers going up on one of these items?
like I said, we meet in the morning, and that car write-up is kind of a prep for the day. I go over different things that have happened or that are going to potentially happen that day. We meet as a big group with all the organizations throughout the state in a common area, and we have speakers. They talk about the legislation that's happening. Each week has a different topic. Employment, self-advocates, families, need for money, need for funding. And then we usually get a packet of information that we go around and take to different legislators throughout the campus. We then meet with legislators or their assistants based on who's coming. I try to make appointments with the legislators for the people that are coming, the constituents. And then we have lunch, we'll watch hearings and help people get ready if they're wanting to testify or just watch people testify, so maybe the next time they come up, they feel comfortable. And then we pack up and head back and have a debrief in the car, and then most people sign up to come the next week, too, because they loved it so much.
What is your name, sister?
Hattie.
Hattie what?
H-A-T-T-I-E and then Stigum. S-T-I-G-U-M, and I do have some of my business cards as well, if you'd just like to grab one.
Good.
And how he works for?
I work for Peace with GIRA, by Planned Parenthood Coalition.
Any questions about the legislative meetings or volunteering and that kind of thing? Well, we have a couple of other announcements. One is directly to my left and to your right, is a new program manager. Let me introduce to you Trish. And you may have seen her occasionally over the last decade. Just a short period of time. Trish, can you kind of explain to folks what you see as some of your priorities and what you would like to help your team work together on?
Sure. Yeah, I thought that I would do a little bit of a reintroduction. I know that I know everybody knows. but I thought that I would give a little bit of information about my background and kind of then talk a little bit about some of the priorities for the work in the coming year. So I just wanted to share, I started working with people with intellectual and developmental disabilities when I was going to the university. I had been waiting tables and working at restaurants and paying my way through school as I was getting my education. And a friend of mine had told me about this job where he was working at an adolescent crisis center in East Multnomah County. And told me about the work, and I thought, this is what I need to get some experience doing. And so I went to work for that adolescent crisis center, and that was really some of my first experience working with people with emotional and developmental disabilities. And I thought, well, if I can do that and have things thrown at me, then I guess I can work with people. After that, my eyes were open to the many different ways and potential of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Because after I finished my degree, I went to work for a residential agency providing planning and positive behavior support and person-centered planning services there. And there I really saw people living in the community light and engaging with places in the community just like anybody else and making contributions in the community. So that was where I began to see kind of what some of the potential was for the people that I was supporting. I also did functional assessments, writing positive behavior support plans, trained as a person-centered planning facilitator. I was a trainer for that organization, and I mentored other behavior specialists and planners for the organization. So one day, while I was working for that organization, I was told that I needed to go down to another organization that was related to present some information because I have this new idea for how to support the people that I was working with. And I needed to be able to get approval of a board in order to get to be able to do the thing that I wanted to do. And so I went down there, presented to the board, got my idea approved, and one of the directors there said, well, why don't you come in and talk to our executive director? And so I said, oh, okay, you know, I had never met that person, I just thought, I'll talk to them. And about halfway through the conversation, I realized I was having a job interview. And then I went to work for the Oregon Technical Assistance Corporation, now Oregon Training and Consultation, and I was responsible for the rollout of the person center plan, the statewide person center planning system, so developing plans, and that included person center planning, risk assessment, and developing the plans. So I was doing training. I worked there for a few years. It was a lot of travel. Oftentimes I was traveling 3 weeks out of a month. And part of my responsibilities then became working on a personal agent contract for Clark County. That was a small part of what I did. But before I even started the personal agent contract, I was living here in Vancouver. A friend of mine had bought a house and she needed a roommate. And I was walking past a building on C Street and I thought, oh, Clark County Community Services, maybe I could work there. Well, little did I know that, like, not too long after that, I was actually working with Clark County Community Services as a personal agent, and then heard about the positions for the program coordinator, applied, and have been here for the last almost 14 years. So some things that I've done that you were probably all familiar with. I provided oversight for our implemented day program services contracts. I have managed a $3.9 million direct services budget. I co-chaired the Association for County Human Services Developmental Disabilities Committee. I've been part of legislatively mandated work groups, stakeholder work groups for community inclusion and the county guidelines. We have developed a curriculum for training other program coordinators throughout the state of Washington, other county coordinators throughout the state of Washington. And over the last 5 years, we've seen an annual increase in the number of people employed between 11 and 15%. So some pretty good achievements, I think. And I just would like to say that working with people with disabilities has been a gift in my life, and that it has put some really exceptional people in my path. Not only the people with disabilities that show me over and over again what's possible, and that really the limitations are the limitations that other people put on them, but also all of you here in this room. I consider myself really lucky to count myself among you. So thank you. And so far as priorities go, upcoming things that are coming up, you know, we're going to continue with the services to the customer and families, employment and data services, community information. We do have a current recruitment open for advisory board members. We have a big project coming up with value-based payments, which is related to transition and school to work. And we have, this year it's our 5-year comprehensive plan is due, so we're going to begin working on that. And all of those things, I think it's really important to the board to do that work using an equity lens, considering diversity, equity, and inclusion in the work we're doing. So that's just a little bit about me and what we have coming up.
Great.
What you wanted?
Is there any questions from the board? Any questions from the audience?
What about comments?
I'll take a comment.
Well, we're very glad that you're doing this. Yes. I think I was saying, I told her Mary had prepared her well, but she also was prepared well. Mm-hmm. And very glad that you're kind of a seamless movement in this world. Well, there you have.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I just want to be a better person, that's for sure.
I just want to tag on, as part of the community, we are very relieved and thrilled to have this position because it will provide that seamlessness.
I think that's that's an important aspect that we're always looking for. And that's the reason why, as we're going out looking for new members of the board, it's important that we work together as a team, as far as people sharing recommendations, maybe informing folks that they thought, you know what, I think this person is really committed to helping improve the quality of services for people with developmental disabilities, intellectual challenges, and at the same time, would work well with this group of committed citizens. And I really appreciate the work that you're going to be doing, because I've already had to meet with a number of different legislators who have expressed strong support for us. So I think that some of the legislative meetings will go very well, and the challenges that are part of the state legislature and their commitment to people with disabilities, we want to always advocate for them. My own personal request is that we have a room full of parents, we have a room full of providers here once a month, or once every other month, to make us accountable. I think that's important. We have some parents here, we have some educators here, so we have consumers here, you have that commitment up here in front of you, but it's very important that the community is sitting where you're sitting and is participating, because that's what keeps us honest, that's what keeps things transparent. And that's just my comment or two seconds. So taking that same spirit of transparency, let's look at what Darla has for us in the legislative update, please.
So thank you, Walt. I actually am struggling with my voice tonight. So Hattie's going to take the lead on the bills. Hattie actually does a lot of the representation for us for Parent Coalition these days up in Olympia. And her fresh eyes and fresh take on this is a wonderful way to present.
Well, thank you. Again, my name is Patty Spiegel with Park County Parent Coalition and Peace. I just have a few bills here. The wonderful gal that does the smiley face charts hasn't quite got that completed. So I reached out to her today and she said probably by the middle of next week we can get that to everybody. So just quick run through. House Bill 1651 requires DSHS and DDA to notify a client or their representative about their right to file a complaint or a grievance and that process, if there ever is one. And if there is termination of care or a service under a labor service, after completion of an assessment and determined eligible. And as of right now, it doesn't look like there's going to be a fiscal note, and that's the carryover from last year. The next one is House Bill 2258 and Senate Bill 6117, and it will increase the amount of funding for students that are included in general education at least 80% of the time. So the schools that have their students included more will get more funding opposed to if they're in special education. And that was a request put in by OSPI.
Who's the sponsors of that?
I did not write that.
Okay, down. I'm just curious. That's all.
Yeah. We can email this to you.
Yeah.
This is kind of just my notes. And then the next one, also school related, is Senate Bill 6047, which it's prohibiting the retaliation against school district employees that report non-compliance with IEPs. Then House Bill 2290, implementation of early screening for dyslexia. That was also OSPI requested. Senate Bill 6175, concerning sexual health education and affirmative consent for all students. And that would create a statewide curriculum for all school districts to use starting in early education, so 3 and up. And all students would be required